Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network and Slobberknocker with your host, Austin Neely, covering pro football scoreboard and all the news and everything that goes along with it right here on Trim Radio Network, where you can come on over, you can message us, you can check in, you can buy merchandise. If you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is text us and we'll tell you how easy it is to do. Anyway, this song right here, Fortunate Son, Creedence Clearwater Revival, covered under our BMI music license 6105-1658. You hear that, Facebook? 6105-1658. And we have a call-in number, 803-866-1667, if you want to call in. Give us your opinion. Hey, we're open. The lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. Anyway, without further ado, I am going to turn you on over to Austin here, who has, well, just so many different things that he wants to discuss tonight, and we are looking forward to it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slobberknocker Talk. We missed last week due to some difficulties, and it's okay, so we're just going to dive right into the Week 2 review. Starting off with the games and their winners, Vikings versus Eagles. Eagles take it 34-28. Ravens versus Bengals. Ravens take it 27-24. Close game. Burrow flopping, though, with his big contract. We'll see if he can flip it around. Seahawks versus Lions, another very good close game. Seahawks take it at 37-31. Geno Smith is probably the best bet for the Seahawks right now as a quarterback. Lions, though, Jared Goff is surprisingly really, really good. He's got some good weapons, and he's leading the team very well. Colts versus Texans, Colts take it 31-20. Another team that kind of came from behind that I wasn't predicting to be that good this year was the Colts, so glad to see them continuing on with their streak. Bears versus Bucks. Bucks take it 27-17. Honestly, I'm surprised by the Bucks. They lost Brady. Mayfield's not at the caliber he used to be. So we'll see how that keeps going. Chiefs versus Jags. Chiefs take it 17-9. Not a very close game, but Chiefs should have been able to win that by a little bit more. Packers versus Falcons. Falcons took it 25-24. Very good close game. Raiders versus Bills. Bills 38-10. The Raiders, yeah, they got Derek Carr, but they just don't have the weapons and the leadership to beat a team like the Bills. Plus, with Josh Allen having an embarrassing loss last week, he just wanted to redeem himself. Chargers versus Titans. Chargers, two very close games lost. First week by the Dolphins they lost, and this week by the Titans, 27-24. And that's surprising because the Chargers were a playoff team last year, and I still believe they are. They just got to get it together and play like they did last year. 49ers versus Rams. 49ers took it 30-23. That was a good game. But there's just something about the 49ers this year that they just want to win. Giants versus Cardinals. The Giants came back after their very big upset loss last week against the Cowboys of 40-0. They won 31-28. Close game, but they pulled it out. Jets versus Cowboys. The Cowboys with another blowout win last week over the Giants, 40-0. This week, 30-10. Nowhere near as major of a blowout, but still, they're looking good. Commanders versus Broncos. The overtime and the Hail Mary of this game. Everyone thought the Broncos were taking it, but the Commanders came back to win 35-33. Dolphins versus Patriots. Mac Jones is not a leader for them Patriots. They've lost both games. Dolphins with another win. They're 2-0, 24-17 over the Patriots. Saints versus Panthers. Saints 20, Panthers 17. Close game. Bryce Young kind of had to run around a little bit. Got better towards the end, but still lost to that team. Back to what I said before, Jimmy Garoppolo and the Raiders not doing it. Saints with the Derek Carr trade, good. Healthy Michael Thomas, good. Chris Olave, good. Saints are going to be a good team in the NFC. I don't see them going undefeated, but I see them definitely being a playoff contender this year. Browns versus Steelers, 26-22. Steelers defense is back at it. Defense wins their games, and they always have, and I believe they always will. Some of the focal points that I did want to go over this week. The Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa looking great. 21 for 30, 249 yards, one touchdown, one interception. They were playing a great defense. Patriots defense, secondary, front line. Able to pressure Tua, able to make mistakes, make him make mistakes. It happens. He's coming back from a great year last year. He's going to have a great year this year. A lot of articles I've read and predictors and fantasy leagues have him and the Dolphins ranked as the number one AFC team this year over the Bills, Chiefs, all of them. Raheem Mostert, who has been a kind of bounce around the league running back. He had 18 carries, 121 yards, 6.7 average, and two touchdowns. He's making a name for himself in Miami. Now he's getting up on that age where they just don't want to keep him around because they like to keep the running backs under 25, 26 years old due to age and how brutal of a position it is. They're always getting hit. They're always being bullnosed and getting smacked in the head, neck, shoulders, you name it. They don't have a long career, but some of them like to make it as long as they can, not caring about the consequences and everything else. Final Dolphins player I want to focus on today is Jaylen Waddle. 4 receptions, 86 yards, 21.5 yards a catch. This guy is a route runner. He has speed and he has hands. I say in the next 2-3 years, besides Stephon Diggs, he's going to be one of the best rated route runners. And Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, he's going to be in the league with them, the same level. Texans, this one actually caught me off guard today. C.J. Stroud with 30 completions out of 47 attempts, 384 yards, and two touchdowns. He ran around like he was getting his head cut off, but he made plays. Still lost, but he made plays, and that's what the Texans need. That's what they had with Deshaun Watson. That's what they had with other quarterbacks. And from what I'm seeing, the whole organization franchise is not doing what they did with them, so maybe C.J. Stroud does have a career in the NFL being with the Texans. If not, hope for the best and he gets traded to a good team. And finally, his wide receiver, Collins, 7 receptions, 146 yards, 20.9 average, and one touchdown. That's some incredible hands. That's incredible catches, incredible big plays that he has made. I feel like if he stays healthy and helps C.J. Stroud out, they're going to be a good duo, and I could easily see Collins being an 1,100-yard receiver by the end of the year. Lions, another one that made me turn my head. Jared Goff, 28 for 35, 323 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. You want to talk about a man redeeming himself. He was traded to the Rams for Matthew Stafford. Traded from the Rams to the Lions. Last year, did not do so good. This year, got some weapons. Last year, had some weapons. This year, got more. He wants to win. He's going to win. And I believe that if he continues pushing on like he has, leading that Lions team, he's definitely going to do it. Is it going to be this year? Possibly, yeah. Is it going to be next year? For sure. I see them being playoff contenders next year. It's their time to shine. And for his wide receiver, Amari St. Brown, 6 receptions, 102 yards, 17 average. Another receiver who just came out of college being phenomenal. Great route running, great hands, great contested catch ratio. He's the whole package for a wide receiver. Lions were lucky to score him the way they did. Commanders versus Broncos, man, that game was something else. Russell Wilson looked like he was in his prime, but on another note, Sam Howell leading those Commanders, that was something else. Back to the whole thing of the game. Terry McLaurin, again, I have preached this multiple times, it does not matter who his quarterback is, he is going to try to score, he's going to have catches, and he's going to be one of the best in the league. The running back did not do so bad. 18 carries, 87 yards, 4.8 average, and 2 touchdowns. The Commanders look like one of the IT teams. Maybe not top tier, but definitely playoff contention. I'm not saying they're taking the NFC or AFC. I kind of forget what conference they are. They're more of a team I don't watch too often, but they keep winning like this, they're going to get my attention, and who knows, I might become a Commanders fan. Never know. Broncos, though, Russell Wilson. Last year, terrible. This game, still kind of terrible. 18 for 32, 308 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. You know, that's... I expect that. He's still learning, but he is Sean Payton from the Saints. So, we'll see how that goes. Sean Payton helped Drew Brees to his success before he retired, so maybe Russell Wilson can get one more chance at that reign. Never know. Their wide receiver, Mims Jr., 2 receptions, 113 yards, 56.5 average, 1 touchdown. 2 catches, and both of them were 50-plus yards. I don't know about you, but that's a skilled receiver right there. Getting open, finding holes, making people miss, and just executing his skills perfectly. It's just crazy to me that maybe this year Russell Wilson will get to eat. Another thing I want to talk about is Nick Chubb in the Steelers game. Man, you hate to see that kind of injury. He had the same kind of MCL, PCL, and TCL injury in college back in 2015 for Georgia. And if it happens to be that kind of injury again, he might be facing a career-ending injury, or he's not going to want to be... He's not going to be traded or valued as he should be. He's one of the best in the league right now, and an injury like that could end it all for him. So, thoughts and prayers to him and his family. Hope he has recovery and it's not a major injury. Hope all goes well. Another injury in that game was Minkah Fitzpatrick, the guy who delivered the hit to Nick Chubb later in the fourth quarter. He made a tackle when he hurt, fell down, possibly broke some ribs with some internal damage. Another great safety, another great player in the league, one of the best safeties there is to play the position. Young guy. Thoughts and prayers for him, too. It's a very professional, competitive sport. We love to watch him play. But when they get hurt, it's not anything to be like, oh, well, he got hurt, so this team's going to win now. You still gotta have some kind of heart towards them. Some things I do also want to talk about, Aaron Rodgers possibly might be out for the season. They're saying an Achilles tear. I haven't read anything lately. I don't know if they're not releasing it due to some issues or just because they don't want to. So I don't see the Jets going far, far. But I can see them having a winning season, but no playoff run. That's just another thing. Rodgers said, hey, I'm still Mr. Big Man. I can still play. And, well, his ego got the best of him. But hope he's all well and he gets to play at least one more two seasons. But he's following the same path Brett Favre did. He left the Packers, joined the Jets, got injured within the first season with them, switched, and... Maybe he'll go to the Vikings like Favre did. Who knows? For me, my top three quarterbacks this week are CJ Stroud. You heard his stats earlier. He did fantastic on an O-line that didn't really protect him. It's something that a lot of quarterbacks nowadays have to deal with, and he executed it perfectly. He had a great game and everything else. Tua... 21 for 30, 249, 1 touchdown. Coming off a year last year of concussions and multiple different little injuries that made him hiccup, but still played phenomenally. And he's going to do it again this year. He's not going to get injured. He's going to play good, and I see that he has more protection this year. Now, it was a toss-up for me for third place, so I'm going to say both people that I had in contention. Brock Purdy, 17 for 25, 206, no touchdowns. But again, the 49ers are just a well-built team. He doesn't have to throw to get a touchdown. The running back can take it. That team's just well put together. And if they can't do it, the defense, oh my lord, that defense. You want to talk about a crazy, crazy defense. 49ers, I'm calling it right now, number one defense in the league. And then Sam Howell from the Commanders, 27 for 39, 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. That is ridiculous. I've never even heard of him until this year, and he is showing up. He's not shutting up. He's showing up. And one more thing I do want to talk about when it comes to games, the Steelers' defense is looking like it needs to again. For years, they've been struggling, but they brought in some names like Brandon Collins, Roberts. There's just a lot of people they brought in to help TJ Watt on that line, and it showed yesterday. Alex Highsmith with a pick six return. Alex Highsmith with 2 sacks, TJ Watt with 1 sack, Alex Highsmith with a punch-out fumble. T.J. Watt recovered and ran back for a touchdown. The defense won that game through and through. No questions asked. Pickett led the offense great, but there's just the defense of the Browns was incredible. Shout-out to both teams. They played their hearts out. Both defenses showed up. Both offenses could barely get anything done, so it came down to whose defense was better, and that night it was the Steelers. Now, me and my wife try to bring her into these. She doesn't really talk, so I do the talking for her. We did our top three teams for each division for right now, what we think, who's going to make it and be the top three towards the end of the year. For NFC, we both agreed 49ers is number one. That's hands down obvious. Number two, she put the Cowboys. I put the Eagles. Two rival teams. That's going to be great. I'd love to see how that one goes. And number three, she put the Bucks, and I put the Commanders, only because the Bucks do not have what it takes, in my opinion. The Commanders do. They're all young. They're all talented. And the Commanders' defense is one of the better ones, but they're also one of the worst ones. It depends on who they're playing, what's on the line, and what else is going on. So I believe the Commanders will be over the Bucks. For AFC, number one, put Dolphins. She put Bills. She thinks the Bills are going to come back, take the whole division. I don't see it happening. Number two, I had the Ravens. She had the Dolphins. So at least she put the Dolphins in the top three. Our top three teams are the same for the AFC. They're just different positions. For number three, I put the Bills. She put the Ravens. I don't see the Chiefs doing it again this year. Playoffs, yes. Do I see them being top three? No. So basically what I'm saying is I really want the NFL to be different leaders of each division. 49ers, I don't think they're going to go anywhere in the lead for a little while. That's fine. At least it's not the Seahawks or Cowboys or Eagles or Bucks anymore. It's a new face. I mean, the 49ers have been in it, but they've been in and out. It's another team where it's, okay, I'm going to have a really good season, then I'm going to have a mediocre season. Still be playoffs, but mediocre. This year, it's going to be solid good. I believe it. Now, next week predictions, and this is me against the wife, and I don't know her thinking on it, but we'll go. I'm just going to run through them real quick. Giants versus 49ers, we both put 49ers. Falcons versus Lions, I put the Falcons because they've been doing good. She put the Lions because they've also been doing good. They just faced a better team the other day. Chargers versus Vikings. So last year I was a Vikings trail rider. I wasn't a Vikings fan, but I jumped on the Vikings train. They looked fantastic. But I'm also a Chargers fan. Not a major fan, but I would prefer to watch them over some other teams just because the personalities, and Herbert's a great leader. Austin Eckler's, he's funny. If you've ever seen his interviews, he's a cool dude. And the fact that they get it done with players who aren't really incredibly amazing stat-wise, and they still win, or they still put up a great fight. And it's mostly the defense with Joey Bosa, but we all know the Bosa brothers, the Watt brothers. There's just multiple linebackers and defensive ends and defensive backs on many teams that are just exceptional, that hold that whole defense together, and Joey Bosa for the Chargers is one of them. Saints versus Packers. She said Saints. She's a Saints fan. I said Packers. Jordan Love, he's doing good. He has big shoes to fill behind Rodgers, but he's got it. Texans versus Jags. CJ Stroud, amazing game. Texans defense, they're average. So a Jags offense as explosive as theirs, the Texans ain't going to hold them too long. Broncos versus Dolphins, Russ has been great, but he's not Dolphins caliber. Dolphins on both sides of the field, absolutely insane. Titans versus Browns, hit or miss game for me. And her, she said Titans, I said Titans. But watching both games and the highlights of them, like little things I miss, you know, walking away, as we all do sometimes from the screen, I'm going to change my answer to the Browns. Titans are doing fantastic, but they haven't done a team quite as skilled as the Browns defense, so we're going to go there. Bills versus Commanders, I am taking Commanders. I do not want to see them struggle this year. I want them to win. She took Bills. I don't know what her thinking is. She, like I said, it's me who knows and understands football a little bit more than her. She doesn't really know anything. So it's more of a less fun for us, and I like to, you know, get her involved in the things I do. Jets versus Patriots. She said Jets. I said Jets. But the Patriots not having a good leader, that is not really something I see happening. So we both go Jets. Panthers versus Seahawks. Seahawks. Both of us said Seahawks. Seahawks have been exceptional this year. Geno Smith knows how to lead that team. They definitely can win. They have the weapons, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. Their defense is phenomenal. I wouldn't say phenomenal, but they're enough to hold their own and get into the playoffs. And a lot of those players there are still some veterans who have that big game energy and can definitely win. Bears versus Chiefs. She said Chiefs. Okay, cool. I'm tired of seeing them winning. So I put the Bears because they have a good defense. They're a pretty stout team. I wouldn't say they're an amazing team, but they're a good team. Cowboys versus Cardinals. This was a joke. Cowboys all day. No question, all day long. Cardinals can't even hold their own anymore. Steelers versus Raiders. Oh, this game. I am dying to watch it. Both teams are subpar. Both teams are, hey, say, maybe good and all that. So I said Raiders, she said Raiders. And I kind of want to change it, but I'm going to stay with it. I already changed one. I'm going to allow me and her to have one change a week. So we'll see. Eagles versus Bucks. She said Bucks. I have no idea if she knows what's going on with the Buccaneers or not. But it's Eagles all day. Jalen Hurts leads that team with authority. And his weapons and everything else. Finally, Rams versus Bengals. She said Bengals. Joe Burrow, man. Why is it you get the highest quarterback contract right now and you flop? She said him. She said Joe Burrow and the Bengals. They have the weapons. They have the skills. They have the team captains. They have the leaders. But something is going on with that team. It might be the curse of high-paid quarterbacks. But so far, if you look back to it, every starting quarterback that is from Ohio State has lost both their starting games. Is it a curse? Or is it just a misfortunate chance of bad luck? Never know. But for that game, I called Rams. Matthew Stafford looks like he's trying to put it together after having a terrible season, after winning the Super Bowl. So that's another thing. A lot of these teams this year have veterans traded to them or veterans not wanting to play. But it's just anything else. Everything else is just kind of being crazy, being ridiculous, and it's just crazy. But one more thing I do want to talk about, and this is a serious thing. Back to the injuries. Folks, yes, they make millions. Yes, we think it's unfair. Yes, they could buy our whole family's income and still just be like, oh, I have money. But they are still people. They get injured. They play hard. They make sure that they entertain us because they love what they do. We do not need the negative crowd of, oh, Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Woohoo! The Jets aren't going to do good this year. Now, have some respect. I understand the competitive side of watching football, and I am one of those people as well. But at the end of the day, they are human. They are people just like me and you. Yeah, they have millions. They have us. But that's all they have. They have their sport, their families, and that's another thing. When they get injured, it not only hurts them, but it hurts their families. I mean, they have the money to afford being injured, but you know, you don't see your dad for months, and yeah, for months. And so when he comes back, he's injured, he's hurt. It's basically like he's not there, and it's sad. So at the end of the day, just respect them, respect what they do, and appreciate that they try to entertain us as much as they can. But it was a great week with y'all. I hope you have a good time, and be prepared for Mike Bejas coming up next.
All right, guys, hang on. We'll be right back here in just a minute. We've got Take Point 22 coming up, and following right after that, we have a quick going over, and that will be with college football's top 25 offsides. Anyway, we'll be right back with you here in just a bit. Stay tuned, and we'll catch you in just a bit.